Our gospel lesson comes from Luke chapter 8, beginning with the 26th verse. They arrived at the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on the shore, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd stampeded down the steep bank and into the lake and were drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they became frightened. Those throng of people of the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into his boat and returned. The man with whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? From cowardice that dares not face new truth, from laziness content with half-truth, from arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, good Lord, deliver us. Amen. People used to know me only by what was wrong with me. Not my name, not my story, just that guy out by the graveyard. And it wasn't just one thing, it was a whole host of things, a crowd of voices and fears and forces that kept pushing me away from the living, that kept surrounding me with death, filling my days with constant fear. And then Jesus showed up. He looked right at me. He didn't see past me or through me. He saw me. He saw not just my problems, he saw me. And then he spoke. And suddenly the shadows were gone. And now I'm clothed and I'm thinking clearly. And my life is no longer just what's happened to me. I am who God says I am. I am loved. I am claimed. And I have been sent by Jesus on a mission. And I'm going to tell anyone and everyone who will listen just exactly what God has done for me. Jesus sends this Gerasene man who has been healed and set free from all of his demons to declare all that God has done. And I imagine him speaking something like that. The amazing thing, really, is that Jesus told him to go and declare all that God has done, and the man actually did it. And I say that, like Luke says, he went away proclaiming through the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is really remarkable, because when you read the Gospels, you'll find that Jesus often told people to do things and they didn't do it. Like we're in good company, right? Mark's gospel's full of instances where Jesus heals people and he says, now don't go tell anybody, I'll give you the sign when the time is right, and they totally ignore him and tell everybody. Or remember the story of the rich young ruler. This man is extremely wealthy and he says, I want to be with you, Jesus. And Jesus says, follow me, leave and sell all your possessions and come. And the scripture says that he went away grieving because he just couldn't do it. He couldn't do what Jesus told him to do. Think about the Gospels and their record of what happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus says to the disciples, stay awake with me. Will you stay awake while we pray? And they fall asleep. Again and again, he says, stay awake. And they can't do what Jesus asked them to do. It's just remarkable, really, when you stop and think about it, that Jesus tells this man, hey, go and declare what God has done for you. Go and tell your story. And he does. Part of what makes it remarkable is that it's hard to tell your story. Even in this moment, and think about it, this guy has a pretty good story to tell. It's a dramatic, memorable story. I mean, pigs drowning off a cliff. This is incredible. Some of our youth, last time I preached on this text, they were very concerned about the pigs. And I got notes after the service. I think they dropped them in the offering plate. Hashtag justice for the pigs. Like, this is a pretty good story to tell. And yet, it was hard even for him. It's hard for him. Notice what the man wanted to do. Jesus is asked to leave. He's going back to Galilee. And he says, can I come with you? And Jesus says, no. I need you to stay here. You stay here. And like, this is a town that is begging Jesus to leave. Now, got to remember what's happened. Jesus had crossed into Gentile territory. He's no longer in Galilee. He's now a foreigner, an outsider. And he comes, and the first person he meets is this man. And now he's being asked to leave. And he says to him, he says, I need you to stay here. And I need you to tell others. And it's hard. It's hard because, like, he's not unknown. Like, people knew him. His past was public knowledge. He was walking down streets where everybody knew him, had remembered him out by the graveyard in chains. And now he's supposed to go talk to these same people and say, let me tell you what God's done for me. He doesn't get any training. He doesn't get a lesson. There's no sermon. There's no pep talk from Jesus. It's just remarkable. Jesus says, go and tell. And he does. Pretty remarkable. An incredible display by the grace of God of courage that we should celebrate. It's hard, but he does what Jesus asks. And I think if we were going to be honest when we think about it, sharing our faith stories, it's hard, isn't it? I won't ask you to show hands, but it's hard. We did this survey, I keep mentioning it, but it's really kind of instructive. We did this survey last summer, and we talked about the vows of membership. And nearly half of you said that the hardest vow of membership, if you remember what those are, support the church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. All those vows of membership, the hardest one we said is witness. It's the hardest one to tell our stories. It was hard for this man to tell his story. He does not immediately find acceptance. Luke says the townspeople were terrified and they asked Jesus to leave. Just think for a minute. These are the same people that kept this guy tied up out at the cemetery all those years. Do you really think they suddenly had a change of heart and said, oh, come on, we welcome you now? Probably not. I have friends who've been in recovery for many years, and they talk about the challenge of trying to keep relationships with people who are still using. I remember one guy said, getting sober was easy. The hard part was when I had to go home and figure out how to navigate life with people who were still out there. And like, but this man does. He goes home and he tells his story. And it's important to remember, he has a past. Luke says, for a long time, he lived out by the tombs, struggling with demons. It's hard sometimes, isn't it, to shake your past? It's hard to shake the stories that we've told to ourselves or that others have told about us. Great poet Padre Gotuama says, when we are toward the end of ourselves, we begin to believe that we're only what we struggle with. When we're toward the end of ourselves, we begin to think and to believe that we're only what we struggle with. Is that all he thought he was? Is that all people said he was? The demons that he was struggling with? I remember a church member telling me a story about their mom being hospitalized, battling with cancer. And he said that the doctors came in, a whole cadre of doctors, and stood around her bed, and what appeared to be the lead doctor said, yeah, this is the stomach cancer, and points at the bed and says, this is that stomach cancer I was telling you about. And he just stopped and interrupted the doctor and said, excuse me, this is my mother. Her name is June. She taught school for 37 years. She's a wonderful cook. She sings in her church choir, and she is an incredible grandmother. She is not that stomach cancer I was telling you about. See, by the grace of God, friends, we are always more than our struggles. We are loved, we are healed, we are changed, we are claimed, we are commandeered. But it can be hard to see. It can be hard to believe. It can be hard to tell that story. Another thing, and I've never noticed it before this week, that makes it hard for this man to tell his story is that there are other people who want to tell his story for him. I've never paid attention to this. There are other people that want to tell his story. Notice the first people to tell the story are the swineherders. Now, these guys have to be totally objective, right? Like, they've just lost their livelihood. Their whole livestock is gone. They're focused on the pigs, the disruption to their income, the local economy. Can you imagine the way they told the story? Hey, y'all remember that dirty homeless guy out by the graveyards? I'm pretty sure he was a criminal. Now he's hanging around with foreigners, and now he's wandering our streets, dirtying them up. Do you ever notice these days when people talk about homelessness? When we talk about homelessness, we don't talk about it as if the problem is their suffering. We talk about it as if the problem is their visibility. Not in my backyard. I've heard many leaders in Gaston County say the reason we don't have a shelter for those who don't have a place to live any longer is because nobody wants it in their community. Don't build it in Belmont. Just hide them. They don't exist. The swineherders are not objective. They've got their own agenda. And then Luke says there are others who saw him, and they started telling their version of what happened. But if you notice, the version they tell actually filled everybody with fear. They were terrified by the story being told about what Jesus had done. What do you think they were afraid of? Do you think they were afraid of the man? Or maybe they were afraid of what his healing represented and the threat it might have posed for them, their economic instability, their loss of control, their fear of having to change themselves. Jesus, can you just leave us the way we were? Go back to Galilee where you came from and leave us the way we are. It occurs to me that much of what passes for evangelism today, people in the world talking about Jesus, is mostly about blessing and embracing the status quo, keeping things exactly as it already is, rather than calling forth change and transformation and new life. Everybody wants to tell this guy's story, but he tells it anyway. He tells it anyway because he has been changed. He has been transformed, and he has to tell. People used to know me by what was wrong with me. Not my name, not my story, just that guy out by the graveyard. And it wasn't one thing, it was many things. All these voices and fears and forces that pushed me from the living, that kept me among the dead, that filled my days with constant fear. And then Jesus showed up and he looked at me. He saw me. He didn't see through me or beyond me. He saw me and he spoke. And the shadows lifted, and now I'm clothed and I'm thinking clearly, and life is no longer just what's happened to me. I am who God says I am. I am loved and I am claimed, and I have been sent by Jesus on a mission, and I will tell everybody, everybody who will listen, what God has done for me. One more thing. I was thinking this week, one of the main reasons it's hard for us to do what this guy does, one of the main reasons it's hard for us to tell our story is that we don't know what to say. If somebody said, "What's your faith story?" We don't know what I don't know what to say. So we have staff meetings every Monday morning. And we begin every staff meeting with a question. I've told you this, but every Monday morning, the question is, where have you seen God at work this week? Now, I know the question. I'm the one who asks the question. I know the question is coming. And there are some weeks when I sit there in the staff meeting and I have nothing to say. And it's not that God's been on vacation. It's not that God hadn't shown up or that God's not doing anything in my life. It's that I haven't taken the time to notice. And it's not malicious. It's just life. We get busy, things happen, and we forget to pay attention. Saint Ignatius suggested that ingratitude is the root of all sin. Think about that for a moment. Ingratitude is the root of all sin. The failure to notice, the failure to pay attention, the failure to acknowledge, the failure to give thanks. Hey, God, I saw that. Thank you. Sometimes we think we need a really dramatic story like this guy in the gospel reading. Like we need this powerful, emotionally intense, moving story that ends perfectly. Like my life was a mess and then Jesus came into it and everything's perfect. That's not the story this guy would tell you, right? He would say, Jesus has healed me and my life is forever changed, but actually in a lot of ways it's gotten more difficult because now I got to go tell people. Like, friends, God is working. God is working. God is making a difference in my life and in your life, in our life together, in our community, in our nation, in our world. God is working everywhere, every day. It might not be dramatic, but God is there. Rowan Williams was a former Archbishop of Canterbury, and he defined almightiness, the almightiness of God in this way. He said, God's almightiness is not power so much as just constant, never fading, unending, eternal presence. God always working. Always. And the question is, are we paying attention? So school started this week, and I started thinking. My kids came home with handouts Lots of handouts, and I thought, we need a handout on Sunday. If you look in your bulletin, there's a handout. My kids had homework. Guess what, church? You have homework. Telling your faith story. This is the homework. And if you need an extra copy, there are more in the narthex at the information center. What is this really about? This is an invitation to you. Five different ways for you to reflect on your life and think about where God's been moving and what God's been doing. And that's only half of it. That's the reflection is half. The other half is find somebody to tell. Reflect and then find somebody to tell. That's the homework. But you know what? Let's not just keep it for homework. Let's practice right now. All right? So here's what we're going to do. 8:30 did this well, and no one complained, at least verbally to me. I want you to look at number four. Number four. I want you to sit right where you are and just think for a second. Think of one person in your life that God has used to bless you. And how? What would you answer? One person who's blessed you, and how? Just think about it. Got somebody in mind? What would you say? One person who's blessed you, and how? Now, what I want to invite you to do is to find someone you don't know. I'm giving up my sermon time, church, because this is important that we learn how to do this. I want you to find somebody you don't know. Now, I will say I saw a number of people at 8:30 who did not get up. They sat where they were. Don't be one of those people. Should find someone you don't know. It won't take long. Tell one and each other, who's that person that God has used to bless you and why? All right? We'll take a few minutes and do this. Find somebody you don't know. Tell them one person God has used to bless you and why. All right. All right. Years ago, when I was serving in the British Methodist Church, they commissioned a study on witnessing. How can we tell our story out in the world? And they came back and said, what the church ought to do is exactly what we just did, tell each other. Because the theory was, if we can't tell each other, how could we begin to tell anybody else? This matters, church. This matters now more than ever. There are voices out in the world speaking for Jesus Christ. And for the most part, when they speak, they want to bless the status quo. And I'll just be the one to say it, the status quo is not of God. There are plenty of voices that want to speak for Jesus. And they're loud, and they're angry, and they're judgmental, and they're hate-filled, and they are nothing like the Lord and Savior who has saved my life and yours. My good friend James Howell had a conversation a couple weeks ago with a woman named Julie Wood. I would encourage you to go and Google that name, Julie Wood and James Howell, and you can watch their conversation on YouTube. Julie's son took his own life after a youth pastor condemned him for being gay. This matters now more than ever. Preacher Lillian Daniel wrote a book some years ago that summarizes it pretty well. The book was called, I'm Tired of Apologizing for a Church I Don't Belong to. I'm tired of apologizing for a faith I don't believe in. But that's not enough. How does the old hymn go? We've a story to tell to the nations. The story of Jesus and his love. The story of all that God has done and is doing and will do in our lives. And it doesn't need to be perfect. My goodness, you know me. My story is messy. Trust me. People find out that I'm the pastor at First United Methodist Church of Belmont, and they say, this is routine. They say, did you realize there are hypocrites in your congregation? And I say, yeah, and I'm one of them. But you know what? At least we're trying. We don't claim to have it all perfect or figured out, but at least we're trying. At least we're open to let God move and work and speak in us and through us, and sometimes, let's be honest, in spite of us. And that's grace. God is working. God is working. So let's go out and tell that story. Let's go out and declare what God has done for us. I am who God says I am. I am loved and I am claimed, and I have been sent by Jesus on a mission. And I'm going to tell anybody who will listen what God has done for me.